IABC Ottawa presents The Voice.
The Voice offers expert insights and practical takeaways for people in the marketing communications industry.
We're sharing the latest ideas and issues with sector professionals.
What can we do to help you take your career to the next level?
Hi, I'm Sherilyn Starkey, and this is The Voice.
I consider myself the chief storyteller of Algonquin College. You know, it's my job to be proud of the organization and to tell the world essentially what we're doing and what we're leading in.
You know, what's still there is the sort of the gotcha story, the instant hit. Mm-hmm. But what's disappeared is the contextual story, the story that tells you, you know, if there's a problem, if you identified a problem, who's doing it well?
In this episode, we are dealing with senior communicators and the struggle that they often feel to reach, inform, and influence the C-suite. This was a special senior communicators event that took place on February 21st here in Ottawa. Cheryl Jensen, who is president and chief executive officer at Algonquin College, was our guest, and she brought with her Scott Anderson, the executive director of communications at Algonquin College. At IABC Ottawa, our senior communicators events are very social. We sit down around a table and we have a conversation about issues, and we invite different guests to come with us, and this particular one was an Ask Me Anything events. So you will hear a lot of ambient noise here through the interview, and that's not excellent. But I hope that you enjoy the conversation, you enjoy the insights that Cheryl and Scott shared with us about their roles at running a huge college that's here in the Ottawa Valley. I'd like to thank them up front, really, for being so generous with their time and their information and their insights and spending some time with us on that day.
And so when this job came up, I thought, well, I've always admired Algonquin from afar, always known for quality programs, quality people, innovation, and being a very well-managed college. You know, always seemed to have the capacity to take on big projects for the province. So that's when I applied and was fortunate enough to get the job here in Ottawa.
And what year was that?
2014.
Okay.
I was with Algonquin. People ask me what sleepy college life is like. I have no idea. Because it's the busiest job I've ever had.
Really? That's incredible.
It absolutely is, yeah.
So the format for tonight was something that we came up with out of those focus groups I was saying for senior communicators. Some of the feedback we got was that communicators definitely, they just want to network. They don't want to listen to big presentations. And they want kind of like a safe environment where they can ask questions that the millennials are not like, oh my God, can't believe she asked that. You know, I came up with the concept of the real life Ask Me Anything thing for senior communicators. Yeah. And so we did our first one two seasons ago, and it was about social media. And a lot of people had questions about social media because people at our level in our careers, sometimes we have strategic oversight or responsibility for that, but not a lot of practical experience.
Right.
And it's kind of snowballed since then. It was such a great event, and everyone participated and took some value from it, so that's what we've kind of continued.
Ask me anything.
Trump. Mm-hmm. Twitter. CEOs on Twitter. A good thing? A bad thing? CEOs circumventing the media to get to your various audiences or stakeholder groups that you need to talk. I don't know about the man's politics, but you got to admire how Trump is using Twitter to circumvent the media. And I'd like to know if you think that's a viable strategy for CEOs in large organizations.
I use Twitter all the time.
Oh, do you?
At Cheryl Jensen, if you want to follow
okay.
me. I consider myself the chief storyteller of Algonquin College. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my job to be proud of the organization and to tell the world essentially what we're doing and what we're leading in. I would probably say there's a very few days I miss.
Mm-hmm.
And some days I tweet a lot. And I tweet about events at the college that we're proud of. I tweet about upcoming events. I try to get a little ahead of the media. Mm. If we have a big announcement that's coming, excited to be with so-and-so in another hour. Mm-hmm. And I retweet stories that my faculty tweet about. Mm-hmm. I have a hashtag ProudPres. What I don't do is I don't state opinions on Twitter.
Okay.
I don't get involved in politics on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's only about the college, and then the odd time just so people get to know me, I'll send a tweet about, you know, being out in the cold with my daughter at Winterfest or some Winterlude or something like that, just so people get a little bit of me. I see it as a way for Algonquin to constantly be in social media from me.
Yes.
And then it kind of goes viral with everybody else that's
Do you
on
find
Twitter.
Students retweet you?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you tweet yourself?
Yeah. Yes,
nice.
I tweet myself.
That's nice. Good.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's
yeah.
very good.
Yeah. Ask him what he thinks of that.
Benediction, yes. I go to basketball.
We have access to your tweets.
Yeah, so he'll let me know if I'm crossing the line.
Do you break stories on Twitter?
I don't break stories, do I? Very
no,
much?
Not
no.
Much.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No.
Occasionally.
Once in a while I will. Yeah, I signed that MOU last week with the Ottawa Hospital Research Institute, and so I broke that story about an hour before.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's your view on this, Scott?
Well, it's interesting. I think, you know, people gave Obama lots of credit for using social media, and Hillary Clinton, in fact, and Trump, to your point, no comment whatsoever on what he's saying, because it's abhorrent to most people, but... He's a genius in recognizing how you bypass the media and go out of your base, and he complements that by discrediting the media at every opportunity too. So it keeps confusion in the air, which if you have a bad story to tell, it's not necessarily the worst situation. But you know, I think that what he's proved is that we all have a direct channel to our audiences now, and we have to take it seriously. It's harder and harder to get media's attention. It's not a surprise. When I started the Ottawa Citizen, our newsroom had 182 people. When I left 13 years later, we had about 140. Now there are between 50 12. And 70, depending on who you listen to. I think it's even less than that. And that's the combined Sun newsroom as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what's still there is the sort of the gotcha story, the instant hit. Mm-hmm. But what's disappeared is the contextual story, the story that tells you, you know, if there's a problem, if you've identified a problem, well, who's doing it well? I used to always ask my reporters, what are they doing in Sweden? Tell me what they're doing in Sweden. Give us a positive response to this negative story so we can actually help build public policy or whatever it is that the issue was around. Trump's figured it out. That's a pretty good way of reaching a lot of people very quickly. And what he also knows is that if you control the narrative, then people have to disprove you, even if your narrative is ridiculous. You know? So he gets
and his 3 a.m. tweets are so strategic.
Yeah, and it's the
everyone
headline.
Thinks he's sitting up late, not having a drink, and
he's probably timing them and putting them.
Oh no, he's written them at 9:30, scheduled them, and gone to bed.
I've had the opportunity to interview a number of presidents about the most important thing in their jobs, and most of them say it's relationship management. And is that true for you, or is it up there? And if it is, how does your PR communications person help you with that?
I would broaden it from relationship management to partnerships. I really believe, especially in the community college, that we can't do our work without having very strong partnerships in the community and with with other educational institutions like we talked about earlier. That's why I guess I'm kind of like Jim Watson. I spend a lot of time building those relationships and those partnerships in the community. My job really is to protect the brand of Algonquin College. I would say with somebody like Scott, the way I use my communications person is advice, first of all, you know, because some of this stuff is pretty time sensitive, and sometimes emotions within our own executive or within the college or within the newsrooms is high. And so Scott is my sober second thought on how we should be responding. What is the key message that we want to get across? How do we, as he said, change the channel on the story? So, you know, you answer the questions on the story, but then you change the channel so that something positive. We focus on the positive. Mm-hmm. I've been working for 2 years to try and get a hole in the wall between our offices so that I don't have to walk out of and around the corner. But he's sort of the guy that, you know, I text at any time, come on in, we have to talk about this, and use for that advice.
A lot of our members are working in an association or union or not so much a government department, but kind of the quasi, not the private sector either. And they'll be the only communicator on staff. They have a number of challenges trying to get oxygen, from the CEO and the head of the organization. And I wondered if you had any advice to communicators about how to make sure that their issues are the ones that are on the agenda for decision making?
Well, their issues should be the same as the president's issues, and they should be derived through the strategic plan.
If they're aligned in terms of what the communicator thinks are the items of the day, the topics of the day, they should be able to draw not necessarily a straight line, but they should be able to link how that relates to what the goals are of the organization.
Sometimes, as the senior communicator, you're the only person who has to go into the CEO's office and tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else can disappear suddenly or find some other reason. And, you know, that's whether it's related to the strategic plan or not, I think that's the toughest thing to do, is to go and say, I have something.
Here's the unvarnished truth.
Yeah, I've got some news for you, and you're not going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And, here's what it is.
That relates back to the trust that you have to have in each other, that you can do that. And I can get mad at Scott, you know, about a few things, then I know he's telling me for a good reason, and I need to listen to him, and we move on from that.
How long's your work day?
What time is it?
Yeah. I'm up early. I get up early. I'm an early riser. So I'm up at
early
quarter,
email or two.
Yeah, quarter after five.
Okay.
And as soon as I get up, I just check to see, you know, is there anything catastrophic happening or anything that I need to let people know about. And I'm pretty steady most days right through with meetings in and out of the college, you know, lunch meetings, presentations, etc. I would say I'm out late like this at night at least 3 nights of the week, at least. And then I usually have at least 1 day of the weekend that's got some event or something.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, if she's not out at night, she's in her office.
Yeah, catching up. Because email doesn't stop
when
her. Yeah,
email wants to kill us all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Where do you go for your inspiration? What makes you reread? Or,
what do you drink?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Clayton Christensen. I don't know if you've read any of his stuff, but he writes about disruptive innovation. So I read his books and I reread them because he talks about in big institutions how you can disrupt how things are done. And I just find when I read his stuff, I get a little glimpse of something new. He writes about disrupting university, disrupting class. He has a really cool book called The Innovator's Dilemma. He's a big thinker on that sort of thing. Just a little bit more on that inspiration. When I started, I did a 3-month listening tour, president's listening tour. I mean, I've lived my life in colleges, but I didn't want people to think I came in thinking I knew everything about Algonquin. So what I did was I had 25 groups of 25 people, and I asked them all the same 3 questions. You know, what are you proud of? What do we do really well? What needs improvement? And if you were me, what would you focus on? And the themes started coming out really, really early, but it was a good way for me to get to know everybody. And I went home at Christmas time, and I was talking to my son and some of his friends, and I was saying, you know, there's just something about this place. I cannot put my finger on it, but there's something different, and I tell a few stories. And my son and his friends said, well, that's pride.
Mm.
And that's what it is. There's just this pride that faculty have, and it spills over into the students, and then they're proud of what they do. So that's inspiring. I just can't screw it up, is what I keep saying.
I have a question as an employer. I kind of wonder how to manage things in terms of the numbers I'm about to say. These are just my guess. They're not based on any research, but we get graduates that are coming out of Algonquin every year. A couple of times a year now. I'm not really too clear on that, but it's more than just June now, right?
Yep.
That the graduates are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Ottawa. We've got Carleton. We've got Cégep. We've got La Cité Collégiale. I reckon in pure PR, we're getting 300 to 400 graduates every single year coming into the market. How, as employers, are we supposed to manage the expectations of these young people and try to engage them? And like, we just don't have that many jobs.
Yeah, it's not your responsibility to do that.
Yeah.
It really is ours. And I think that's one thing that in post-secondary we're not as good at, or I might even say as responsible about as we should be.
Okay.
I think we're better at it in colleges, frankly, than universities. Mm-hmm. Programs have a lifetime, and we do have advisory committees for every one of our programs. We are measured on student satisfaction. We're measured on employment rates of our graduates.
Okay.
And, you know, there are cases where we aren't placing all of our students, and yet we're not cutting back our numbers. Mm-hmm. That's one reason we're focusing so much on entrepreneurship and people starting their own jobs. But that's something that's going to be more and more important as time goes on. You want the employers for your industry, but you shouldn't be responsible for all of them. So that being in tune with what the employers need and what the community needs is going to be more and more important, I think. It's a crowded space. It's a crowded space in Ottawa. If you look at Toronto, you know, we're one of the top five colleges in terms of number of programs and size. The other four are in Toronto.
Maybe we can talk about millennials. I'm sure that all of us have our challenges and our successes in working with the millennial generation. I was telling a colleague last week that I see a huge difference in millennials of 10 years ago to the millennials of today. To me, it's a stark difference in the kinds of young candidates I was getting 10 years ago between then and now.
In what way?
You know, every cliche that you can think about 10 years ago, the helicopter parents, they're interviewing you for the job. They're worried about their work-life balance at age 21. But I think that the ones today have seen their older siblings struggle to get a job, not be able to buy a house, can't afford a car. And they're a lot more practical now, I feel. The younger millennials are a lot more practical and, can I say, a little bit of kind of Gen X-esque in terms of being pragmatic and hardworking and willing to go that extra mile.
I would say this, like the last 5 years, say, and I compare it with the students that are coming in as well as the student leaders that I've had the real pleasure of working with both at Mohawk and at Algonquin, and that would be like a student association president. The difference in the last 5 years has been quite profound. Much more driven, you know, the thought of starting their own business doesn't scare them.
Yes, I've seen that through the young people that I've met through IABC. They come out of college or university, they start up as consultants day one. They know nothing, they've done nothing. But they make a business of it. They have a success at it. It's fantastic. Scott, you have any insights on millennials?
I think they're fantastic if you can create an environment where they get to do what they're passionate about. You get bored very easily. But, you know, the funny thing is I had a mentor who said to me, when I was a young manager, he would say to me, your job is to make their job, your employee's job, easier. And if you actually apply that to millennials, it works brilliantly. If you do your job as giving them the room they need, the passion space that they're passionate, and keeping that the things that bother them away from.
I guess that leaves it to me to thank our guests very much for coming out tonight and being so generous in your time and your thoughtful answers and your ideas and sharing with us what your lives are like and what your jobs are like and letting us learn from you and listening to us talk about how much Algonquin means to all of us.
Thank you so much. Really, it's an honor.
The Voice podcast is published by IABC Ottawa for marketers, communicators, and creative advertisers everywhere. We'd like to thank Amanda Speroni from Thornley Follis Communications, our sponsor. Amanda is our producer. I'm your host, Sherry Lynn Starkey. I'm past president of IABC Ottawa, and I am the current president of Thornley Follis Communications here in Ottawa. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, Sherry Lynn Starkey, or at Twitter, at Sherry Lynn, or reach out to IABC at IABC Ottawa. You can leave comments or questions on our blog at iabc.ottawa.com. You can connect with Scott Anderson at Scott K. Anderson and with Cheryl Jensen on Twitter at Cheryl Jensen. Thank you for listening. Please watch for future episodes of The Voice from IABC Ottawa.